All right, everyone, I'm about to hit you with the hot facts right here. First one coming at you from the guy in the first row over there. Everything is a gamble. Love most of all. Now, if that doesn't get you ready to fucking gamble, I don't know what does. I'm hyped on DraftKings, guys. I talk about it every week. I gamble on it every week. I bring in dollar bills. Now, sometimes I lose. That's part of gambling because also luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. And that's what you're about to do after you use promo code THPN at sign up to get an extra $5 on your first deposit. Take that into an NHL lobby, draft a sick ass team, win some sick ass cash, grab a sick ass bottle of Fiji water, and live your best posh lifestyle, baby. So seriously, guys, though, go into DraftKings now, the leader in daily fantasy all across the sports world. They are expanding everywhere as gambling becomes legal across the states and soon to be Canada as well. So huge news coming there. You'll be seeing DraftKings even more than you already do. If you're trying to understand what it is, it adds excitement to every night of watching sports. That's what I know for sure, because you're drafting the lineup. You're watching it more for just the results. You're watching the players and how they perform. That's why they call it the sweat, is because you're sweating for people to shoot the puck. That's all you need sometimes, is a shot on goal to win. That's the difference between making thousands, making hundreds, or making nothing. If you think you're smart, challenge yourself. Go to DraftKings.com, use promo code THPN at sign up, and yeah, get a free entry with your first deposit. That's what I wanted. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Other than that, episode 25 of Stick and Ring Podcast.
Oh, harder, baby.
What a great intro.
Thank you very much. Clammy Hands here reporting for duty with Stinky Crotch. And then we got Grundle Boy. I was going to call Josh Stinky Crotch. But we'll go Josh be Grundle Boy. Raph could be Stinky Crotch.
There it is.
I definitely can't be Stinky Crotch.
Why?
Your room looks today. like something that would have a Stinky today. Crotch in it.
What do you mean? My bed's not made. That's the only thing messy about my room.
It looks like, remember that South Park episode where they're all gaming downstairs and Carmen yells for bedpan? Like kind of similar.
I have a bedpan.
Kind of similar vibes. Boys, before I ask you how you're doing, I want to ask you something.
Lay it on me.
Do you guys find the sound of someone peeing gross?
No, not really. I'm indifferent about it.
You know what? It's so funny you say this, because I know someone and she was telling me, I work with this girl, and she's like, yeah, like I turn on the sink when I go pee. I'm like, why? And she's like, I hate the sound of pee. She's like, I can't do it. I think to myself,
at her own house, she does that?
Yeah. Like she's like, I'll go pee. And even if it's just me, she's like, I'll turn on the sink and I'll go pee. I'm like, you're weird.
I'm sure this lady is a nice person, but I'm gonna hit you with two things. I hate her, because she's wasting water. And also, I would see a therapist if that was me. A, because you need to fix that. There's not a lot of water on the planet. Fix yourself. And pee, hey, dude, it's natural. We were like, right before we're recording, I could hear one of you guys peeing. And I was peeing at the same time. And I was like, it's kind of a cool sound. You know, it's kind of relaxing.
Who did you hear peeing, me or Josh?
I don't remember. I was away from the screen. I couldn't tell. It sounded like a Josh. It was a Josh stream.
Do you guys, when you hear someone's stream, do you unintentionally think about the size of their unit?
Yep, 100%. Yeah.
Of their piece?
Have you ever heard of a distinctly like bigger stream where you're like, holy fuck, dude, that's a rope on that guy.
The thing I think of is like when you're on like a nice little nature walk and you can barely hear a little bit of water. Or it's like you're standing right next to fucking Niagara Falls and you're like, holy shit. How long have you been holding that in?
Seriously. And like, there's so many apps that are like white noise apps or even meditation apps where it's like, fall asleep to the sound of rain. And I'm like, bro, fall asleep to the stream. How about that?
how do you guys feel about peeing with boners?
So hard. Painful at times.
I usually get it on the seat sometimes. Yeah, but Yeah. You know, actually, I don't want to say why it's hard, but it's actually like there's a reason behind that.
Why?
Just say it.
So
yeah, what the fuck?
It's anatomy, dude.
Yeah, you went over me last episode. Remember how good you were at it?
Yeah. Well, I think, and Raph, you'll probably look this up and prove me wrong on Sunday. But when you pee with a chub, it's usually because like if you like pee like as you're like having sex, it's because there's only one fucking way out there, boys. It's either fucking sperm or it's piss. So because like I don't know about you guys, but like I can still rock a chub, but if I go pee, I'm like back to square one in terms of like I need to like work on, you know, finishing again, building up.
Yeah, absolutely. Building up the
pressure.
It's almost like,
or if you picture it, like, or it kills it. If I go pee,
so really? Wait a second,
I'm good.
Nah. Back to sperm talk for a second. Does sperm travel through your urethra?
Yes.
It does. Like, right? It's all the same.
Urethra is just Well, dude, there's no.
You don't have a second tiny hole underneath your big hole.
Yeah.
Y'all don't have two dick holes. What? Oh man.
Yeah, because that's where like UTIs and shit happen. Because like if you have unprotected sex and you get bacteria in there, that's why it hurts to piss.
Oh. No, thank you. No.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Dude, not Josh's health lesson
coming from the
base. That's so dude, but if you like legitimately, if you try and pee after coming, that's fucked. Like,
that feels so not only good. That feels so it,
dude, sometimes I like we're going real into this here, but like as a guy, if there's any women out there listening, if somehow you've sat through this so far, after a man ejaculates, at least for me, there's like after dribble. Like it's not just finished. Like there will be like dribble afterwards and it'll just dry on your underwear. That kind of sucks. Like you don't want to have like wet stickiness everywhere. But the life hack is if you pee after, it's kind of like rinsing the smoothie cup. Like there is like, it's not clean, but there's no dribble coming out after. So that's kind of the life hack. But like there's times where I'm sitting there after doing that and I'm like, I have to stand there for like 5 minutes and it's like almost pushing a shit out. Like I'm like, so it's like there's like a doctor at the end of my feet saying like, all right, 10 second push, here we go.
Yeah. Well,
tough.
Well, trying to push out the pee.
Yeah. Cause I like what I'm saying is sometimes I don't like urgently have to pee, but I know if I pee, like I won't have to deal with dribble. So I'm like, I will pee, like I will make myself pee.
Well, the one thing I will say, E, is it's actually very, I wouldn't say it's necessarily like, very important, but it comes back to having like the whole unprotected sex thing. It's actually very important that you pee after sex, guy and girl, because it actually flushes out the bacteria and shit that gets in there sometimes.
I thought it was just girls. That's interesting.
I'm pretty sure.
I was told it's just girls.
I think. I don't know. Yeah, it might be.
You're probably told that by a girl.
Yeah, but
they weren't thinking about you.
Agree, though? Would you guys not agree? It kind of makes sense for guys, even though like the mass of where bacteria can get in is smaller than a girl's. There's still like bacteria that sits on.
Oh, dude, I don't say small, dude. I've got a gigantic urethra. Are you kidding me? It's huge. It's like the Massey Tunnel, man.
You could shovel a pinky up there if you needed to.
But speaking of girls and pee. What do you think out of the two genders, their pee streams, what do you think, like, if we had to say one was worse or grosser or just like if one was better, which one's better?
Girls.
Do you think ours is like a precise, just like single file stream? And then do you think the girls are just like a shotgun blast into the toilet?
No.
Kind of, yeah, seriously.
Hey, I think girls, I've always wondered about this because like guys.
You're saying girls are better?
Have you guys ever had the dual stream?
Yeah, it cuts in half.
But yeah, where it cuts in half, it's weird. So
twice as hard to control.
Yeah, it's so that way, like, and it's very satisfying when you're like, I'm so precise, like both streams are going in the bowl and nothing's touching the seat. But I think for me, though, like girls, like it's always aimed down. You know what I mean? Because like, think about it this way. Do you get piss on the seat when you do a sit down piss as a dude? Like when you're getting up in the middle of the night and you're like, I'm just like, I'm so tired. Just let me sit down, you know, instead of like standing, you can actually like fall asleep on the John, which has happened to me. Or do you get, you know, obviously like not, I don't want to say dirty, but it's more all over the place when you're standing. There's more prone to error. So yeah. I would say girls plus girls wipe, dude. Do you guys wipe your the tip of your urethra after you go piss? No,
no
you
way.
Shakes, and you're good.
No,
bro, you're on the.
You do. You even do. You do the toothpaste squeeze, dude. You just like get it all out of there. squeeze the tube out. I was gonna say, dude. Like, honestly, I've heard a couple girls pee in my lifetime, and it does not sound relaxing. It sounds very distressing. Like it sounds like when you hold a garden hose, but you hold your thumb over like 90% of it and you get that like sharp sounding spray. That's what it sounds like.
I think that's what it is, dude. I think that's what it is. Yeah. So like we have nicer flow, but it's harder to control. It's like Elijah's hair. Whereas
dude,
like,
have you ever, I've got too many pee things
like
going
all
on.
Over the place. it's all over the place, but it's like structured. You know,
yeah. Okay, I'll give you guys the option here. Should I bring up one more pee thing or should we move on?
No, you bring up the pee thing for sure.
Oh, fuck.
Okay. Have you guys ever been sitting down to pee, but you pee so hard it ramps up the bowl and outside, like down your leg?
Dude, I thought
down your leg.
Like, dude. I don't know. I can't remember where it hits, but it goes outside the bowl and it hits you, and you're like, what the fuck?
No, I've definitely peed with an erection into the toilet and it's like splashed off the toilet bowl onto the underside of the toilet seat, so then I have to clean that after. But never peed straight up onto my leg. No.
Dude. I think I have, or I'm not paying attention. Like I'll sit down, I'm so tired, I'll just like hopefully like it dangles just like over. But sometimes like it's just not the right angle and I'll be like, okay, I'm peeing, but it's not going in the toilet. Where's it going? And then like it's going like right into your underwear and you're like sick.
Jesus.
Oh my god. And like you literally get that words out of it, dude. It's like, all physics. Okay, we're not gross, dude. It just comes down to angles sometimes.
Yeah, dude. It's just
sometimes NBA players shoot an air ball. Sometimes I miss the toilet.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
Just like Steph Curry, he doesn't always have the nicest arc, but, you know, neither do I.
But you'd still take him on your team every time.
100%.
Okay, I think we'll jump into this episode here. We're ready to record now. Let's get going. Okay.
Episode 25.
Episode 25, Stick and Rink, here we go. Boys, I went to the gym today again. I'm on the wagon still. I fucking killed leg day, I think. If we're in a lobby full of beginner workout people, I killed leg day because I like didn't give up halfway through.
How much
did you start with leg day?
What did I do for leg day or start?
Why did you start with leg day?
What do you mean? Like, because
is this your first time going to the gym?
No.
Oh, no, this is your first time going to the gym.
Like, I've been like 3 or 4 times in the past 2 weeks.
Good for you.
Like maybe a week and a half.
Baby steps.
Second time doing legs since being back though, and yeah, I would say I killed it. I don't know. I'm just happy. I don't know. I'm at the point right now. I kind of want to talk about like just being a beginner at the gym, or like beginner is the wrong word, but like just being a newbie at the gym. We all know like there's the gym hardos who like got the fucking spaghetti top going on, and they literally look like they're in their element. And then there's guys like, then there's a complete other group of people. There's me who are like, no clue why the fuck they're there. I try and write out a plan of what I'm going to do when I get there, but I slowly start scratching things off because I'm like, I'm not fucking doing that. And so I also have to I was like, you know what? I want to get some abs too. And so I started doing step ups. Like off on the little thing, but I threw like a 45-pound plate over my head and just held it there while I was doing stuff.
Jesus. Yeah, so
when I first tried it, I was wearing this t-shirt, which is from like 2013, so it does not fit my Krispy Kreme ass belly anymore. So I had to like tuck it in and tie my shorts up so people didn't see my muffin every time I lifted this plate above my head. But that's my version of killing it at the gym.
Good
Josh,
you.
Did you do a workout today, Raph? Did you?
Yeah. Did I do? No. Oh, no, I did. I was doing, what was I doing yesterday? I was doing chest and biceps. I was just fucking knocking it out.
Are you making the noises? Like, yes!
Fucking Chris.
I was actually gonna ask you, how many plates were you squatting today with those thick thighs of yours?
I'm only form, baby. I'm no weights. I don't fuck with the weight right now. I was just doing kettlebell squats.
So what?
I cannot.
Like, there was no weight at all.
You didn't want to just do like an empty bar or anything?
There's no bar. It's just kettlebell. So I was doing like a kettlebell in front of me, like a goblet squat. It's called. Yeah.
Okay.
I forget how. I think it was only like a 50-pound kettlebell. That's a little more than the bar.
Dude. So,
and how many times did you squat it? 10 times?
I was doing. I think I did 15, 12, 10, 10.
Holy shit.
It's not bad.
All right with it. Nice. I'm trying to work on form because I've noticed. I always thought I had good squat form. Incorrect. I have very bad squat form.
Just chest out, sense. Back straight, ass.
Yeah. What are the odds we got one of those like super protein powder like Jersey boys out there listening to our show right now that wants to come on and PT me, personal train the shit out of me.
Dude, Bailey Fiddler.
I'll only do it if he promises to look like a Guido when we go to the gym. That's all I want.
Just give him a spray tan and everything.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm like, he has to get a spray tan every time.
Yeah,
and then not I'll even every single time he's there, he has to go tanning. All right, he'd be in for sure.
That'd be so funny.
Oh yeah.
Any thoughts with the gym before I move on, boys?
No.
Good for you.
I think I'm rocking. I think I'm doing. Back and shoulders tomorrow.
Nice.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You don't want to do back and bi?
No. Back and biceps were already done. So
all right.
I'm gonna do back, shoulders, and triceps tomorrow.
Elijah, how long do you think you last with the gym? Because you're a very committed person when you put your mind to it, but I know that the moment you fall out of routine, you're done for.
Why don't you and I have a bet? Why don't you and I make one?
He made one last year, remember?
To check, like, if y'all want to make the weight loss bet again, dude, I'm fucking armed and ready. I got.
Hey, before you start making more bets, can you pay me back first? Like, just.
Whenever Bonnie tells me I can come give you your money, I will do it.
Dude, why can't you just transfer me?
She doesn't like that either, dude. That's not safe distance.
I don't think I've seen you guys in person since my birthday, back in December.
2 full months at this point.
Wait,
at least hang out or something like that. I don't think I've seen you guys in person since December.
I don't even know if we've seen each other at all since then.
Coming to my work a couple times.
Yeah, but that's in passing. That's not the same.
True.
Like when was the last time we all like officially hung out? Like even my birthday, like that's a bit of a stretch because we were all kind of like in a large circle for like 10 minutes, maybe.
Dude, I wasn't even there for your drive by birthday.
Yeah, Josh wasn't even there. So I think the last time we all hung out was Thanksgiving.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah. Holy
October.
Shit.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Almost 6 months, 4 months.
Dude, I'm literally going to spiral into depression in this episode if we keep this up. You'll see a full mental breakdown.
Because now I'm going to transition us. The thing that's really going to carry on the depression is the Canucks, dude.
Oh, oof. There you go. What a transition.
Bad transition. It's bittersweet.
That's some James Duthie shit right there. You are hosting us.
Nice. So let's jump into hockey.
Okay.
So
what happened?
Well, first of all, I'm actually really mad at myself because yesterday I was coming home. I was at the driving range. Speaking of which, my swing is back. It is back and I'm happy.
Speaking of things that are back, the swing.
Yeah, the swing is back. Now coming back and I'm like, there's a Canucks game on. It started at 5. I'm driving home, like it's 5 o'clock. I'm sitting in rush hour because I was coming from Ladner. And I'm like, I'm not going to miss too much. Like, whatever. I'll just rip home. Dude, I come back. It's 3-0. I'm like, I saw nothing. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, Canucks are going to take a shit on the Jets. So I'm like, I'll watch all the second. So I watched all the second. No goals. It was actually pretty boring to watch. I was really upset. Then I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, third period. And then I watched until the 4 minute mark left in the third. And I'm like, okay, Canucks are going to win. I turned it off, missed the empty netter. And I'm like, fuck. Damn. You. I'm like, I didn't see one goal and I'm really upset. I haven't seen a live Canucks goal, boys, in like a while because I'm either at work or they're being fucking shut out when I'm watching it. I have not actually celebrated a live Canucks goal. So
I guess my question is, you didn't watch today's game because you were working?
Yep. Fact.
Okay.
Okay, but so that's the highlights before there goes, we started. And that's
where there, I was get, well, it kind of defeated my theory. I was going to say that you're the bad luck charm recently, but yeah. Clearly not. But no. Today's game. So, yeah, well, let's go to the first game. They won, like, dominating performance, I would say.
They got outshot. I mean, I would say they took advantage of their shots because there weren't a lot of them compared to today.
Maybe we'll use the word dominating generously by saying they dominated because they got a lead and they kept it. And that for now is for the Canucks, that's dominating now. But I mean, I constantly, like, part of the reason that I stay so positive and I still think the playoffs are like a glimmer of hope, like it's still there, is because I swear that a lot of these games comes down to bounces. Like, they fuck up a lot of the parts of the game, but so do other teams. And I think in that first game, a ton of bounces went our way. Like three deflection goals almost?
Well, yeah.
Near deflection goals?
That was one of my points. Like, I'll give it to the Canucks. Like, they did a really good job getting in front of Hellebuck yesterday. Like, there was traffic in, like, every shot. Like, JT Miller had a tip. Hoglander had a tip. And then the other one actually went off Nate Schmidt got credit for the goal, but it went off a Jets player. So, and plus the empty netter. So, like, literally every single goal that beat him was a deflection. So, that was really nice to see. So, the bounces were there, 100%.
And that's the thing. Like, I kind of, like, I was just so hoping that we'd be able to string two or three wins together here. Just maybe buy those bounces to be able to get some sort of momentum. Because here's the thing. The Canucks are going to win three games in a row again. It will happen. Like, it's just whether or not it's way too late, obviously. I think if they can do it in the next five games here and get some momentum going, that'd be awesome. Who would have thought after doing that to Connor Hellebuck, like their bona fide number one starter, that they fucking bring in fucking Laurent Croissant, fucking Croissant one more time coming in here. And we get a couple on him this time, but he dominates the Canucks, man. He made some big saves again. Shout out to Canucks Twitter for not knowing who he is. Like, we're all big hockey guys. We knew who he was before this, you idiots.
I have a question for you guys real quick before we get too far away from this.
Yeah.
At what point in the season are you guys going to officially write off the Canucks?
I'm like a mathematics guy. Like, I will hold on.
Until statistically they can still kind of do it, even if they win all their games.
Yeah. You'll have to position me with, like, okay, the Canucks have to win out the next 10 games. Montreal has to lose all seven of these games, and that's like, I'll still be there.
Yeah, because, like, we've been very hopeful, I feel like, for the past however many weeks, and just like it hasn't been going well. So I just wanted to see how much further we need to go before we all just start writing them off.
I mean, for me, I'm just already there. I think this season's a wrap. I'm not saying they should tank. Because I'm not like that. I don't think you should ever, like, try to lose. I think you should play to win. But for me, it's they're just not good this year. And you know, Elijah talks about the bounces, and there's certain points in certain games, and today's game was one of those things. Like, there's 4 seconds left. There's a fucking pop fly in the Canucks zone. Mm-hmm. It's a shitty bounce. Matthew Perreault takes it in alone. There's 4 seconds left, and Canucks go down. I think it was 2-1 going into the third, or maybe it was 3-2 going into the third period. Like, that is
that was the first period goal.
First period.
Yeah.
I think it was 2-1 going into the second period, but they never had a lead after that.
That's the hockey game.
Those really bounces. Is. Yeah. And maybe it's the hockey gods, you know, balancing the bounces from back to back games, but it's just shit like that, and the constant defensive breakdowns, like just getting out of their own zone. Like, there was the other turnover where there were 4 Canuck players and neither of them went for the puck, and the Jets player took it to the net and they scored. Like, it was very frustrating to watch that. Like, so I don't know. I mean, I think they need to start selling. I think they make cap room. I don't think you need to blow this thing up, but I was going to ask Elijah this question. Are we kind of gearing up to be like the 76ers of the NHL? Like, just trust in the process with, like, these high draft picks. Like, I'm just saying, like, you know, I think we have a good enough team to make the playoffs and to, you know, like, we have the star power. We do. but we just can't get over the hump. Like, I feel like we're going to be, I feel like it, it seems like that's the team right now.
Yeah. So I would say really like Edmonton was kind of the 76ers of the NHL, like really getting like these number one overall picks and still having to be kind of on the fritz the whole time.
Yeah.
I'll say this about our team right now is the core of Hughes and Pettersson, mainly those two guys. I'm actually more worried about them than I am the rest of the team. Like, I think the, I think the Horvats, the Hoaglanders, even Besser, like I think him, and I actually love Myers too. People are going to hate me for that, but that's fine. Out of the two superstars on our team, they do worry me because they're not like a McDavid or a Matthews. There really is no superstar like Elias Pettersson where it's all like, there's not a ton of speed to his game right now. And I know he's kind of not in a great point during the season. Like,
Let me ask you this. Do you think he's just a better version of Patrick Laine? Just pure that goal
could,
scorer?
Could be. Well, but I think he's got kind, I don't know. I think he deserves more than that for sure. But
saying he's the better version of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Because he's got other wrinkles to his game, but he does remind you a lot of him when he's in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about him where, like, when Austin Matthews was coming up, he's a guy I'm going to relate it to a lot because, yes, he's tearing the league apart right now. It wasn't always like that with him. Like, it wasn't, he was always like a 35, 40 goal guy. But no one really knew, like, okay, are you going to enter like the McKinnon tier? Are you going to enter that tier of player?
Right.
And you kind of saw in this year, he's taking games over with speed and skill all at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if Pettersson has that gear to him in terms of speed and skill at the same time. Yeah. Like, he's a very patient player. And that seems like something that teams are going to start to adapt to.
Yeah. And I think you make a really good point there, E, because, does he have the extra super, like, you know, going to fucking, in the words of Adam Gase, going to fucking hyperdrive and truly take a game over, like truly, like if you're going to win this playoff series, it's going to be because of him. Or does he need like a decent supporting cast around him? And I would say maybe what I would compare this to, and you may not like this comparison and hopefully it doesn't happen, but would you kind of compare like maybe like Pettersson and Hughes to maybe like a Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan? Like, they're a good duo. They're awesome. They're great. But can they elevate their game to being like a, you know, a Duncan Keith and a Jonathan Taves, or you know, Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane? Like, can they get to that level?
I absolutely think that the Pettersson and Gaudreau is a phenomenal comparison. I don't, like, obviously the Monahan Hughes thing is kind of tough.
Yeah.
I think like Hughes has like
Horvat and Monahan have always been compared to one another.
True. True. That's a very good point too. I'm a lot more hopeful for Hughes. I'm worried about his size, obviously. But he kind of has the same tendencies as Pettersson. He's a very patient guy and not really the like take you over even by body position kind of guy. You're going to say something, Ref?
I was going to say, because this kind of got me thinking with you bringing up the whole Austin Matthews thing with how he was just like tearing up the division this year. Do you think one big factor for the Canucks and for other teams that are playing in the North Division right now, do you think a big factor is that they're playing teams that they previously never really played before? Because like with how divisions were composed previously, it's like you could argue that we kind of molded our play style to play against teams like, who else was in our division, like Vegas, San Jose, like teams like that, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to teams like Toronto, Winnipeg, you know? So do you guys think that that's a very big factor this season?
I think it's huge when playing like the Montreal, Toronto guys. Obviously playing like the Calgary, Edmonton, it's not that different. But definitely like in terms of how much Montreal surprised us this year for sure, and how outclassed we look, kind of it's going both ways. Like Toronto doesn't have to play these big guns anymore, Boston and Tampa, and they're kind of feasting on teams like us. Like, we're kind of getting fucked in that same sense.
Yeah.
That's a good point too.
Well, I also think it just kind of comes down to like the matchup and where I kind of see, you know, Vancouver struggling is when you look at like the Pacific Division, how it used to be, it's like, okay, we weren't the fastest team, but we're a quick team. Like we're not the fastest, but we're quick. But, you know, when you match us up against the physical teams, it's like, yeah, we're decently physical, but we're definitely not the most physical. But yeah, it's like, as soon as you match us up against like a really fast team and we try and beat them with speed, it doesn't work.
Yeah, we just get burned.
So like the Torontos and Montreals, that's all they are. They are sheer fucking speed and skill. Whereas when you match us up against like a more physical team, like a Winnipeg, or even like an Ottawa, you know, those are teams that we may not match up well against. So it's interesting because I agree with you. Like when you look at the Pacific Division, if we were looking at what we are now, like, okay, San Jose's pretty bad. Vegas is good. Anaheim's shit. Kings are shit. And Arizona is bad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say bad, but like they're
not. Arizona's moving divisions too.
Yeah.
We're going to have Seattle this next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Which so, they'll be shit.
Yeah. And then obviously you look at Edmonton and Calgary. So, I mean, do we play in an easier division? Yeah, I would say so. I mean, the whole knock right now in the North Division is whichever, doesn't matter which team comes out of the North, everyone's writing that team off. It's like whether it's Toronto, whether it's Montreal, whether it's Edmonton, whoever. Like everyone's pegging like the Canadian team to get absolutely shit kicked whenever they go up against any other divisional team. So it's hard to say right now. You know, are we in the weakest division? I mean, it's very plausible. I mean, you look at the way that the other divisions are lined up, like, dude, like it's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's some deep time teams. So our only hope would be, you know, in the latter half of the season, we don't get like whichever team comes out on top, like that team doesn't get hurt. And, you know, but I mean, it'll be interesting because whenever that divisional round kind of happens, like no team knows one another. They have not played at all. All you can go off of is sheer game film, which is very interesting.
Yeah. Because you're going to have to use past knowledge from previous seasons and then just like the video that you've been seeing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you can almost overthink it to a point where you're like, all right, I've watched 30 hours of video on this one guy. And you're like, okay, why don't you just go out and play him at that point?
Yeah. It
could be a completely different feel. Yeah.
I mean, my biggest thing is I would peg the Canadian division as a very fast division. I would say pretty quick hockey. It definitely lacks the physicality. So, I mean, when you have a quick team like a Toronto or an Edmonton or a Montreal coming out of the North, dude, if they can get their feet going and, you know, those first couple games against kind of like a more physical team, like it might be hard to catch up. So I think that would be the saving grace of the North. But right now, Vancouver is not, they are not at that level, like not even close.
Yeah, we'll see. This would be hilarious if this was the season where there's like a miracle 9-game win streak or something like that. Like we've seen it in past where I remember there was a couple of seasons ago where Columbus and Minnesota both had 15-game win streaks in the same season.
Yeah.
And I think both of them went on to like barely make the playoffs. Like they weren't phenomenal teams whatsoever. So that would just be like, that's why I'll never be out on my team like this. Cause I think that it's just one year, you never know.
But I mean, also like you could also spin that in the sense of like, look at Buffalo last year, they won 13 games in a row and then they went in their last 25, they went, or 20, I think it was 23. They went 13 and, or they went like 15 and 10. Like how the fuck do you even do that? Like you win 13 in a row and then you win two of your next 10. That is fucking nuts. So anyway, it's wild. Or two of your last 12, I should say. So
I see what you're pointing out. It goes both ways. Okay, good talk. Let's throw it over. We should have prefaced this at the beginning of our fucking pee talk.
We need to do that.
Yeah, we fucked up because we got a big guest coming on today. We've got the head coach of the Vancouver Giants, former assistant coach. I guess I don't know how to word it. Like assistant coach of the World Junior Team Canada from this past year. I think that's the proper way to word it.
Yeah.
Michael Dick. Great interview with this guy. We think that we broke into his personality near the end. We think we got him, and we think we gave him the true stick and rink experience. So we're going to throw it over to that guy right now. Thanks again to Dan from the Giants for setting this up, and we'll come back after that. Here we go. All right, folks, here it is. Curveball, actual hockey interview coming up here. A guy with a lot of knowledge on the game, might even be able to help coach us up into people that can actually stay on our feet on the ice rink. But we're pleased to be welcomed by Michael Dick, the head coach of the Vancouver Giants. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
No problem, man. Awesome. So we're going to jump right into this thing here, right up here. So obviously, given the world situation where we're at right now, the WHL season's kind of been pushed back a couple times now. And just like the rest of the world, we're kind of waiting, standing by, just to see how things fall and how the dominoes fall. So my question is, have you started looking at the Langley Event Center and deciding where you could put bunk beds in different kind of places that you could have the players stay, like Red Deer?
We would love to do that. I mean, we'd give anything. We'd set up bunks at the Ladner Rec Center right now if we could. I mean, our guys are raring to go. I mean, we're coming up to a year now, and I got, you know, our players have done an amazing job staying positive, maintaining a level of composure that we certainly didn't expect at this point, because there's been a lot of hope at times, and then probably on two or three different occasions has been shot down. So I think we feel like we're close right now, and we're really hoping that we get approval sometime soon. It's really hard right now because we're watching other divisions in our league play. Mm-hmm. Get ready to play, and we don't have a plan yet, but we're hoping it's close.
Love that. Awesome. So just in terms of a general question, what are you doing to get these guys ready for the season to try and obviously maintain like the level of competitiveness and whatnot?
We've done a number of different team builders everything's on Zoom now, as you guys know. And in the summertime, we make it a point to stay in contact, but we felt really, really strongly about our guys staying connected with each other and staying engaged. I know they've got a group chat going. We had a morning motivation through the summer. And we felt like, hey, there was times that we have felt positive, and everybody's been on this roller coaster ride, and there's other days that you don't. And it's like being in the dressing room with each other. There's days you're feeling it, and there's days you aren't. So when you're not feeling it, boy, it's nice to have somebody else pick you up. And so we had everybody step up and do a morning motivation through the summer. Through the wintertime, we've done everything from, full body workout, some ideas, as far as when guys were in lockdown in Alberta, weren't able to access the gym. What were they doing at home to stay in shape? What were they watching? What were they reading? And did a great job with that. And we've done a number of different things, from bringing on alumni. We've had guys like Milan Lucic or Brendan Gallagher, Lance Boma, Craig Cunningham reach out. We've done team trivia. We just did a project where we recognized other people in the pandemic that are serving the community. And so we're pretty much running the gamut, but we're running out of ideas here. It's time to start playing here.
Who won in trivia? Who's the smartest guy on that team?
I was. There it is. I might have something to do with the questions too.
There you go.
Comes in and awesome. Shows all the young guns who's boss around here. Sit back, watch the master. That's awesome, man. Okay, I kind of wanted to take a second and jump back into your own hockey playing days. I did a little bit of research. I know I'm not a guy that looks like he does his homework, but I jumped in, and 1988, we got the Regina Pats, and I noticed a stat stuck out to me there, Mike. 122 PIMS in 54 games there, but that was kind of run of the mill back in the days, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Fourth highest on your team.
Yeah, back in those days, man, there was guys with 300 penalty minutes.
Yeah,
wow.
It was a much different time, really fond of those days. Obviously, we had some pretty close teams in Regina, and it was obviously a great learning experience for me to play junior hockey. And obviously, the guy that I worked with the past 2 years, Jamie Heward, he was a teammate of mine back then. And then, you know, you come full circle and you start coaching together. So, yeah. You know, it really fond memories and some great, great times with some great guys back in the day in Regina.
Nice. Love that. So assuming you guys do play, and fingers crossed that you guys do, because junior hockey is really exciting to watch. Who are the rivalries going into the season for you guys?
Well, I think it's going to be our division. If we're going to go, it's going to be a shortened schedule, maybe 24 games, and it'll be just BC division. So,
right,
we're going to see a lot of Kamloops and Kelowna and Prince mm-hmm. George and Victoria.
Nice.
And that's great. I mean, we have a great division. We have great rivalries within the division. I would say our biggest rival is Victoria. It's the closest team. You know, we would have played them in the playoffs last year in the first round. We played them the year previous, 2 years previous, actually. So they're probably our biggest rival, but we have a rivalry with everybody in our division. So
nice.
It would be really competitive this 24 game schedule.
Love that. That's awesome.
So and even for yourself as a coach, with that idea of okay, it's definitely shortened schedule, it's the same teams every time. Is there a, maybe there's not something that you change as a coach, but is there a level that you add of something you wouldn't normally cover where you're talking about playing the same team so often, maybe there's just a different mental edge that you try and give the guys of saying like, hey, it's a long season against these guys.
Yeah. I think, you know, this season is different than any other season because you're shortened and it's going to be 24 games and it's probably going to be in a span of 49 days. And, right. You're not going to have a whole lot of rest in between games. So I think as we prepare for the season, we really haven't touched too much on any kind of technical preparation with our players yet. We've sent out some shifts here and there, but our focal point is really going to be on our habits. There's not going to be a whole lot of time to, as you would normally have in a season, to develop systems or a team play. It's going to be all about habits, which are going to be the foundation for the way we're going to play anyway. So if we can focus on that and really develop those, I think we're going to have a pretty solid team game. We got to play a smart game. Mm-hmm. You know, our players have to come in and shape and in a 24 game schedule and a 49 day span. I don't think any of them after missing a year of hockey want to miss any more. So the physical element of, as far as rest and, you know, recovery and nutrition and hydration and then obviously maintaining a level of flexibility and a level of conditioning is going to allow these guys to finish a 24 game schedule in a very short period of time.
Love that. That's awesome. My next question is just around coaching, idols and guys that you look up to in and around the WHL or obviously in the NHL, who are kind of like, who is the one coach growing up that you're like, yeah, like he was always like a really good coach. Like I want to model my style around him.
That's a good question. I think it's funny. I watch a lot of football and I was always a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Woo!
So, we grew up watching some well-coached teams with the Steelers. I like the way they played. They played hard. They played well defensively. They had a solid team game. And now moving forward, I did have some mentors. I mean, when I started coaching junior hockey, I worked with a guy named Brian Maxwell who had won two Memorial Cups, and he taught me a lot about the defensive side of the game, about game preparation. I worked with Don Hay here in Vancouver. And I learned a lot from Hazer, especially habits and very good practices. And then when I started as a head coach, I actually worked with a guy by the name of Claire Drake, and he was a legend in coaching at the University of Alberta. Kind of used him as a mentor. So I rely on a lot of different people, and have learned a lot along the way. And you sort of take what you really like from the guys that you've worked with, and you're always seeking to learn a lot more. I mean, this past year working the World Juniors with Andre Tournier, I learned a ton from him as well. So There's just certain people that I've probably taken more from than others.
Love that.
Nice. That's sweet. I was actually just about to jump this way, so that works out. The World Juniors this year, kind of a glimpse into, I guess, what it's like organizing a team and playing throughout this pandemic and dealing with all the things you have to deal with. My first question about it is that kind of thing. Do you think you gathered some insight and some practices or tips about how to handle a season like this, where testing's a big part of it? Obviously, results of the test is a big part of it, but also just the rules and the restrictions. Did you take something from that experience?
Oh, I learned it. I learned a tremendous amount from that experience. It was it's an unbelievable experience, anyways, to be a part of the World Junior team. But this year in particular, with everything that we went through from, coming together, I guess, in April when I found out I was going to be a part of the staff and doing a lot of preparation as far as watching a lot of different players, in a lot of different leagues, from the Quebec League, the Ontario League to the NCAA, guys I knew in the Western League, starting to work together as a staff. And then, running a summer camp, normally that camp's in Plymouth, Michigan, we did it virtually. And so we focused a lot on our values and our habits in the virtual camp. So you've got, you got 46 players from across Canada on a Zoom call with the staff, and doing group projects and guys having to work together. It was unbelievable how well it was run. And I think, what we got out of that. And then into our pre-camps, preparation. And we're going into Red Deer and we had a plan in place where we were gonna, I think, play 4 or 5 inter-squad games, and then we were gonna play 6 or 7 CIS games, and then 2 exhibition games prior to the tournament starting. And everything changed. I mean, obviously when we had a case of COVID inside of our group, inside of the bubble itself, and got locked down for 14 days. So, I mean, our team, our staff and our team spent 19 days, and we had we were together from the middle of November till the beginning of January, 19 days in a hotel room, isolated. And most of the guys that we had hadn't played a meaningful game since March. And we had to, we had no exhibition games. We had 1 exhibition game against the Russians. We had to change a lot in a very short period of time and manage, 46 athletes in their hotel rooms, and they're young men. And it wasn't easy. But I mean, very good leadership from Hockey Canada, very good leadership from Andre and Al Miller, who was our manager. And the players did a great job, managing a lot of those frustrations and distractions that could have happened. And kept everything compartmentalized, so it was a phenomenal experience. But yeah, hopefully nobody has to do that again.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. I was gonna go back to just kind of be the original call, like getting the call from Hockey Canada, like that's huge. And obviously, getting that phone call, being invited to be a part of that coaching staff. What was your initial reaction to getting that phone call?
Well, I honestly wasn't really expecting it. I was the head coach of the under 18 team the year before, and I was 1 of 12 coaches that went into an interview in Toronto, actually just before we got our season shut down about a year ago now. A lot of really, really good coaches and highly qualified guys, applying for a couple of positions, and we had the opportunity of getting the call from Hockey Canada at the end of April, and it was during a time obviously when there was no good news, and I was able to get something that was probably the best news that I could have gotten outside of us playing again. So yeah, immense amount of pride and also gratitude to get that chance.
Love that.
Nice. And awesome. So not only on the World Junior roster, but also in the Giants, you had the chance to coach Bowen Byram. And I was thinking about how to ask this question. And the instinct for me is to ask, well, how do you how much do you have to do for a player that talented? You just kind of sit back and watch. But I think that that question is kind of reserved more for the guys in the NHL who are in their 30s who have been doing that for years. But you got a guy like Bowen Byram who's immensely talented, but there's still tons that you can do to help him during that process, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've coached Bo since he was probably 12. I mean,
man.
Wow.
You know, he and my son are very good friends. And actually, when I took a step back from coaching full time and I decided to spend more time with my own family, my own kids, and I started coaching my older son, Bo joined our group in Lethbridge. He was in Cranbrook, not a very short drive away, but he jumped in the spring hockey program when he was about 12 or 13, and then AAA Bantam at 14. So I've coached Bo, for quite a while, and and when I had him back then, he was an elite player, and it was all about introducing different things at different times of his career, and he was ahead of the curve, and then coming here, working with him again, at 17, the challenge was, it was less about, teaching him how to shoot the puck harder or skate faster. He knew how to do all that stuff. It was more about, him going into his draft year and managing a lot of the pressure that can come from playing in a city like Vancouver. And he did a great job, deflecting a lot of that by staying focused on the Vancouver Giants and just focusing on the process. And then last year, for him coming back after, being at the pro level and probably not as long as he wanted to be and getting ready for his first World Junior experience, that time, initially was tough. It was tough on him. I think he hit a wall mentally, emotionally. He was tired after a busy couple of years. And I think, he came back and one of the best players in our league, I think, just because he took a lot of that pressure off himself and just became one of the guys again. So that's probably more along the lines of what we do when we coach guys like that. It's more about coaching personalities and understanding where they are as young players, the amount of pressure that they have or the challenges they have. The stuff they do on the ice, I mean, it's little tweaks here and there, but it's more about helping them manage some of the distractions and some of the pressure that they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to kind of ask a follow-up question about Bo too, because now I don't want to frame this in a way that makes you try and talk bad about the IIHF or anything, but for me watching that tournament, one of the biggest crimes that COVID made us go through was watching Bo and Byram have to give out his silver medals to his team. Like, that's obviously still quite an awesome accomplishment to get there, but you can see, it, with any team that goes through that kind of loss, you see the pain in their faces, you see the grief you're going through, and to have to do that was one of the most bizarre moments. What do you think that kind of moment for Bo will further in his career just be something that makes you stronger and something that kind of helps you get through tough moments in the big leagues?
Yeah, when you play for Canada, and that's another thing you learn along the way, and I've been in enough short-term competitions with Canada, but not at the World Junior, the U18s, the Youth Olympics, the U17s. There's there's a standard that you play to, and the expectation is to win gold, and anything less isn't good enough, and that's a good thing, and at times it's a tremendous amount of pressure, but you learn from it, We had a great tournament. We played extremely well. We didn't give up a 5-on-5 goal. We won the gold medal game. And you go into games like that where you haven't played very many games, but you haven't been down yet, and then you go up against a very good team. And we didn't play as well as we wanted in the latter half of the first and the beginning of the second. But outside of that, we played really well, and we just couldn't find the net. So you're accountable for, you love the wins and you celebrate the wins and you share those losses. And Bo being one of our leaders, and really, when Kirby Doc went down in the exhibition game, Bo and Dylan Cousins stepped up and sort of shared that captaincy, and Bo being a leader and played so well through that tournament that it was sort of automatic that he step up and be that guy for us.
Yeah. When you saw the roster, you know, just before, obviously, like all the injuries, like just the original people you guys brought to camp and brought to the tournament, who is the one person that you're like, holy crap, like I get to coach this person. I want to see what this guy's got. And just like in terms of like personality wise as well, who's someone you were excited to be behind the bench with?
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, I've known this age group and coached this group of kids for so long. That you know, again, the old ones, which, you know, predominantly that's what we had, 19-year-olds, that's how old my son is. So he lived with Dylan Holloway, and he lives with the Krebs in Okotoks. That's where he's playing in the Alberta Junior Hockey League. Yeah. So I know Peyton Krebs very well. I know Dylan Holloway very well. Coach Bowen Byram, I know Dylan Cousins from Lethbridge. Knowing a lot of these kids in Western Canada, I knew, and coaching the Hlinka team the year before, so I had Quentin Byfield and Perfetti and Gooley and Drysdale, knew those kids. I think, you know, for some of the other guys that I didn't know, Connor McMichael, you know, it was a real pleasure to coach and a very good hockey player, and probably the big one, Kirby Dach. And you know, watched him play growing up, but he was such a pleasure to work with, especially him making the decision to leave Chicago to come back to the World Junior Team. He wanted to do that. You know, that certainly that went a long ways to him being our captain. Guys like Bo and Dylan Cousins looking up to him because he had played at the NHL level. And you could see, like, when things got really hard, he had a level of composure and poise to him that pros do have. As a result of playing with guys like Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane for a year.
Yeah, nice. Definitely. Awesome.
So about kind of this year's Giants team and looking forward to that. Later on today, we're actually bringing on Canuck Lepert. I'm going to work on pronouncing that, man. I'm going to blow it every time. And also Zach Ostapchuk.
Yeah.
So on that one. So let's talk about these two guys here, just individually, these guys. What are some of the quirky little intangibles that each of these guys bring? Like when you think of them, not as a hockey player, but as a teammate, what are they known for?
Well, I guess to start with Alex Canuck Lepert, he is our captain. He was our captain last year. This is a guy that makes other people around him better. He's a really solid defenseman. I think he's better offensively than people give him credit for. He's off the ice a very intelligent guy, a guy who cares about his teammates, plays the game the right way. He's tough. He sticks up for his teammates. He fights a lot of the battles for his teammates, not for himself. And he's the one guy, along with Eric Florcheck and Tristan Nielsen, who are other 20-year-olds that I really hope that this season comes to fruition and works out, because I want it to happen for those guys more than any. I mean, those are the guys that we need this to work for, because, you know, Leafs and Eric Florcheck were both drafted by Washington and didn't get signed, and this is an opportunity for them to get to the pro level, and they have the ability to play at the pro level, and we need this season to work for them, as does Tristan Nielsen. So I'm really hoping this works for them. They deserve it. Zach Ostapchuk is coming into the draft. He was our first pick, a couple of years ago. Big, strong, reliable centerman. Really, really good away from the puck. Really worked on his strength, his skating. He had a real serious injury, his ACL last year, which knocked him out of our lineup, and we really missed him. As a 16-year-old, he played there was some top six forward positions that he played in, and he earned it. So he got a lot of ice time as a 16-year-old for us, and I think he's poised to have a really good season and poised to be drafted this year, whenever that happens. But you know, he's definitely got the potential to be a pro hockey player.
Love that. That's awesome. My one last question is, obviously, good coach, good enough to be on Team Canada. So you have a bunch of benders, guys who can barely skate, reporting to you on day one of training camp. I think there's 18 of us. We can all skate. We all know the game. We all know what we can do. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're like on the mind. We're NHL ready.
We're Connor McDavid. Yeah. What are some drills that you're going to put us through? Like, what would day one of training camp be if you're coaching like a low level beer league team?
Well, day one would be just a couple of quick flow drills into some outstanding small area games. Let's see what let's see what kind of sense and snarl we got in the group, and we'll throw some. We'll throw some cold beers up for reward, and let's see how hard we want to play.
There you go.
You can get a lot accomplished with a few cold beers, honestly, especially with this team.
Maybe throw in a little bag skate at the end to see who has the real character on that locker room.
Well, I think the fact that the winning team's gonna get the cold beers, and maybe the losing team probably will sell bag skate.
Yeah, there you go.
I do have one last question before we wrap up. So as I alluded to, we're hopping into an interview with these guys afterwards. So I kind of want to pit you against one of these guys against each other, but on some lighthearted stuff. So you kind of mentioned Alex's brain a little bit here. So this first question, who do you think would win in a game of chess between the two?
I'm going to go with Alex. The wily veteran.
Yep. Picking all age. Right. That's always a good pick. Always a good pick.
Yep.
The next one I got here, who out of the two, who do you think watches more reality TV? We're talking The Bachelor, we're talking Real Housewives, stuff like that.
Zach.
All right, there we go.
No hesitation. He knows
quick that for answer. A fact. That's going to be tough for him when we bring that one up. And then the last one, lighthearted hockey question. Who do you think's got the stinkier hockey equipment?
Well, you know what? I think both of these guys are not the kind of guys that I think would have stinky hockey equipment. I think nice. they're both pretty responsible professional guys. There's some other guys that I would have any hesitation at all. problems, but I think these guys are pretty they're pretty clean livers. So I that would be a tough one. I don't know who I'd pick there.
All right, we'll keep it at a tie. We'll get their answers and we'll see how that flows from there.
Yep.
All right, Michael, that's awesome. All we got for you today, man. We can't thank you enough for joining us. Just as much as you guys, we want to see a season go ahead around here and pop by the LEC, hopefully to see these guys play and get them to showcase, especially like you said, those last years for those 20-year-olds. So once it does get going, let's just put some positive spin on it. Once it does get going, we can't wait to see you guys out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, really looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed that interview with Michael Dick, head coach of the Vancouver Giants. You can catch him at the Langley Event Center whenever Bonnie tells you to. Don't just show up like that. When you can go check them out. But huge news coming out of the WHL, guys. You heard it during this interview. I think we mentioned it to Coach where we said when the WHL season plays, when you guys get that 24-game season. It's official. It's happening. So, I mean, let's get to you guys. I know we're all stoked for the players and for the coaches and everyone involved.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, like Michael said in the interview, he wants these, you know, older guys, or as much as they are old in the dub, the veterans in the WHL to actually, you know, get their chance and like have like a final year. And I think that's really important. So, you know, credit to the Vancouver Giants, and hopefully they do well. I'm excited to see them.
Definitely. And all the other BC teams too. I think there's five of them or something around that. So
yeah,
shout out to those guys. Like you said, I think these stories sometimes fall on flat ears, especially of mine, when you don't know someone experiencing stuff like that, like a senior in high school who doesn't get to play his sports, stuff like that. It doesn't really hit you as hard, but when you get to talk to a guy like Alex, like we have the captain of the Giants coming up on a future episode as well. Like you actually get to talk to one of these 20-year-olds where it's like, his season's kind of hanging in the balance, and he doesn't know if he's going to get to play junior hockey again. So yeah. it was kind of cool hearing that announcement come up and thinking like that guy out there is pretty fucking stoked he got this news today. So yeah, that was cool to think.
I love that. That's awesome. Alrighty.
Cool. Cool talk. It's time.
Mosey on over to the corner of Ghost.
All right. You know what I just said? I'm pretty sure that saying is copyrighted.
What's that from?
Bruce Buffer, where he starts yelling, "It's time."
Oh,
Bruce Buffer. I'm pretty sure he has like trademarked that saying. Fuck you, Bruce. We're too small to care.
Yeah.
But goats and woats, we are going to do goats and woats, the states in America, the America states, the different stats. So yeah, that's what we're doing, the greatest and worst states of America.
All right.
I think all the network guys should love this one, hey? All the guys in America.
We're not trying to piss anybody off by doing this. We're just doing this because we think this is absolutely hilarious. Yeah. Let's just make that very clear.
Because we live in the true North, strong and free. Duh, you guys are just jealous you're not up here.
Stuck igloos and hunting with polar bears and shit.
Let's all remember how many people tried coming over the border when Trump got elected.
Raph comes in here, says, "We're not trying to offend anyone." Then he comes in with a very real chirp. Like, actual, like, dick.
Yeah, my bad.
Craft their fucking immigration website. Thanks, Raph.
Brother, I'm fucking from Poland. I don't know anything, all right? Ask Elijah. Not even a citizen. Okay. All right.
So, for those who don't know, we're going greatest first. So, who wants to start it off?
I think we go Raph this time.
Yes. Let's go.
Good stuff.
Let's go. You
get to raise your hand so politely.
See how quickly I did it, too?
Yeah.
Didn't even see it. Want to see me do it again? my first goat. Yeah, I think you guys are gonna hate me for this one. Oregon.
Okay.
I love Oregon. I think Oregon's sick.
That was my number two, so fuck you, Raph.
Yeah, dude, Oregon's a fucking dope place.
The Oregon Ducks, dude. You took it from Josh.
Yeah, sorry, Josh.
Damn.
I thought of it like what is it? I like my parents always do like a "get out of here, you fucking jackasses" Illuminati signs.
No, that's the Oregon sign. Dude.
No.
No,
this
is it's the O. You score a touchdown, you get the O, baby.
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
What's it called? It's just dope. Like my family and I always do like a trip down the West Coast whenever the world was open. So we'd always go down to like Seaside, Florence, Lincoln City, like Portland, Cannon Beach, all that shit. And it was always super fun. But also just like, I don't know, Oregon's just so much fucking nice. Cannon Beach is in, is it in Oregon?
I think so.
Yeah. Is it? I thought it was always in Washington. But anyways. What's it called? It's just like a dope place. It's like the forestry and there's beautiful, like it's just so chill. Everything's really nice.
I agree.
Yeah,
Highway 101, baby.
Yeah. Sand dunes are fucking sick. Back. Rip a dune buggy a little bit, take it up the side of one of those dunes and then just almost flip over and just leave with your life.
Dude, my dad did that.
Really? Flipped it?
Yeah. Ron Gertzen flipped a quad and he really like almost like broke a fucking rib. And
oh wow.
I'll tell that story after. I'll tell it later.
All right.
And it's a good thing he had his wallet in there patting him, right?
Bounced off the ground with that.
It's just like the Wolf of Wall Street with like the Serbian smuggler, like the girlfriend where she's got like just
yeah.
That's good old Ronnie.
Yeah.
Okay. Am I next?
Yeah.
You're next up.
Guy? Okay. I'm clockwise.
My first pick is going to Michigan. I'm taking Michigan first overall.
Why?
I love Michigan, guys.
What's in Michigan?
We got 8 Mile, first of all. 8 Mile coming out of the Detroit. We got the White Rabbit coming at you hard.
I like 8 Mile.
This one, shout out to John King. I love during the election because like there's a couple things. Like we're in the Rust Belt. I love how they're always a swing state. Like they're just a state that can just never settle. Like I love swing states. The fact that y'all just are so indecisive, you got to switch every time. And then to top it all off, you got the two universities, right? You got State of Michigan, and then you got Michigan University. I don't know what to call it. Do they call it Michigan State?
Michigan State and University of Michigan, you dipstick.
I don't know. I don't know how to say saying University of Michigan just sounds weird. Because you just say like because people just call it Michigan.
Yeah.
But and what's this? Don't they have the biggest sports stadium in the country too?
Ann Arbor?
Yeah, in the world. Yeah,
I think it's the biggest.
Wow. Good for them. Good for Michigan.
And it's all outside, which is fucking nuts. Anyway.
Yeah. What a shitty pick.
Okay. I know.
It's the big house, dude. Don't fuck with the big house.
Dude, Detroit is a piece of shit. Like, it's actually a piece of shit.
Yeah, but it's rural, dude. It's blue collar.
Oh, God.
Detroit, for whatever reason, every time I think of Detroit, I think of, like, that fucking post-apocalyptic city that took place in I Am Legend. And I'm like, oh, that's Detroit. Yeah.
Okay. My first pick, boys, and I'm really disappointed you guys didn't do this, but I don't know if you guys have been there. No. In the desert, we're going with Arizona.
Oh, yeah. I had a feeling you would have picked that one.
Dude, Arizona, man, like, multiple reasons why. First, Ronnie's got a place down there. So, that's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, Arizona State. Fear the fork. Fear the fork. and dude, the golfing down there is fucking crazy. And it's home to the best golf tournament ever. The fucking Waste Management Classic, TPC Scottsdale. And it's got
lots of reasons to be down at fucking ASU. I'll tell you that much right now. Yeah, lots of good reasons.
All right, my next one. Very close second to Oregon. Colorado.
Fuck!
Colorado.
Is that just because they legalized weed first?
Legalized marijuana. Keystone Ski Resort. Aspen. Like, it's just fucking sick.
It's that place is so dope.
Yeah. Living in Denver would be so sick. But it's
I was going to say a really bad joke, but like, we'll easily have to cut it. So I can't.
The only thing about Colorado, isn't the elevation like substantially higher? So the air's thinner or some shit like that?
Dude, that's why they call it the Mile High City, dude.
Yeah.
Because you're literally up in fucking air. Like,
You'll
get nosebleeds up the ass, dude.
I don't get nosebleeds. I can fight it. But that'd be sick. Like, Colorado number two for sure. Just like that.
It literally is 1 mile above sea level. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, good for them.
Dude, can you imagine, like, if you look out your window right now, imagine if you just saw a building, like, a mile higher than you are. Like, that's fucked.
1,600 meters? Yeah, it's fucking insane.
That's really fucked to think about.
Well, I mean, the thing is, though, is, like, even, like, Calgary is very high up as well.
True.
So.
Yeah. I guess just situated in the mountains, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Weird.
Anyway, all right, we can move on. E, what's number two, pal?
All right. Well, I'm gonna be scrambling near the end of this because I didn't think anyone would choose Colorado, but I'll fuck myself. I'm gonna take my next pick. I'm going with Pennsylvania, baby. I'm taking good old Penn State. Once again, I'm going with a bit of a theme here. My greatest states comes down to the grittiness, and I'm going with Gritty. I'm choosing my guy Gritty.
Billy.
Pennsylvania seems, maybe there might be Americans out there when I say this, they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? But Pennsylvania is one of the grittiest parts of America. It is gritty America. And so I love Philadelphia especially, and I especially love those scumbag riders that get out there when Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl. They're fucking Vaselining the poles outside. Like, what?
Dude, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
Dude, Josh, what are the odds that Elijah goes 3 for 3 on the worst goats ever?
I know.
Your states.
Michigan and Pennsylvania. Kind of guy.
I feel like the one thing I will say is you've got Pittsburgh, you've got Philadelphia. I'm pretty sure Washington, D.C. is in Pennsylvania. I think.
I don't think
so. Where is it?
I think it's in Virginia.
It's Maryland.
Oh,
sorry.
There you go.
Close.
No, but
I can only imagine Americans listen to this right now. They're like, dude, these guys know fucking nothing.
Dude, joking, dude. We probably know more than they do.
Yeah, true.
You think so?
Hey, we were both 100%. Right. It's bordering the states of Maryland and Virginia.
Fuck whoa, yeah, boys. Regular Virginia or West Virginia?
Regular.
Regular. Yeah.
Cool.
but I'm pretty sure what's the Ivy League school in Pennsylvania? I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think Yale. Yale is there.
Really?
So there's some education there. Are you Googling it right now?
It's in Connecticut.
Nice.
That's a tough one.
I love that we all do this, though. We say facts with the utmost confidence that it's right.
Okay.
That's my favorite part.
My next one, well, it was originally going to be Oregon, so I'm going to pull from the honorable mention pool. I'm going to go with Tennessee, boys.
Oh, you sack of shit.
I'm loving me some Tennessee because it's very – first of all, it's got one of the best pickup lines of all time. You're the only 10 I see, which I think is actually very clever. It's number one. Yeah. It's got the Music City, Nashville. Nashville, baby. And I feel like it's also like a southern state, but it's also like very modern. Like it's still – it's not as like – country and is like hick is like an Alabama or a Louisiana, that type of thing. It's actually like a little bit more left, which is kind of nice. It's like a good thing.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. Fuck, that's my last one. My last one.
Get for stealing Oregon.
My last one. Nevada.
Nevada.
All because of Vegas, baby.
I fucking love that state.
Dude, I will rename that fucking state Las Vegas. It should just be Las Vegas. It should
just be Las Vegas. They should just make it really, really tiny and just like a small circle. This should be just Nevada, and it should just be the state of Las Vegas, which is just Vegas Airport and the Strip.
There's three parts of the world that should be its own country. The first is Vatican City in Italy. Yeah. The second one is Monte Carlo.
And the third one is Las Vegas.
And then there's Las Vegas.
Oh, that'd be so sick. Dude,
what else is in Nevada other than there's one place called Reno? Like what the fuck?
Yeah.
I've been to Reno.
Oh.
It's is actually it dope? Or no, I haven't been. No, I've been to this place called Carson City. No, Reno. No, I've been to Reno. It's basically like a miniature Vegas. And it's dirt cheap gambling. Like, it is so cheap, boys, to fly to Reno. It's definitely not as nice, and there's not as much shit to do there, but the casinos are just as big.
So you're saying,
fucking wild.
Dude, you're saying it's just Fremont Street. This sounds
like
my place.
Yeah. Like,
that's what it is, Raph. It's a big
this is Fremont. Yeah.
Yep. Dude, if I might plan a boys trip one time, and I'll just be like, boys, we're going to Vegas, and I won't tell you guys, and we'll land in Reno. How sick would that be?
I will be
like, bro, I brought $2,000. I'll be like, bro, I bought 20.
I'm gonna go fucking. I'm gonna keep trying to double up my money on roulette until I can get enough money to go fucking rent a car and drive to Vegas. I'll see you guys there.
Dude, I looked at the first Google image of this city, man. It literally looks like Merritt, but it's got like a couple skyscrapers.
Fuck Merritt,
that's
dude.
It. Like it's just situated. Merritt. Like literally just situated in the middle of a fucking like valley.
Dude, yeah, Elijah, I wish you were in the car with me and me, Josh and Bailey when we drove to Stampede like 2 years ago and I just bitched about Merritt for like 10 hours straight in the car.
I fucking hate Merritt.
We weren't even by Merritt anymore. We were in fucking Alberta and I was complaining about Merritt still.
No, not even that. It was literally the fact that, like, from Hope to Merritt, Raph's like, why the fuck do we need to stop there? There's nothing fucking there. I'm like, Raph, I'm like, I need gas. I don't know what to tell you.
Dude, so pissed, dude.
The only reason to hate Merritt, though, is if you don't stop in Merritt, because that's, like, the universal stop for fast food place.
Yeah.
Like, that's, yeah, and shotguns.
That, too.
A couple road pops. Yeah.
That's so bad, Raph. I was driving and I shotgunned twice and just got back on the
road. And then we pulled up to Josh's mom's house and we're like, oh hey Michelle, and we shotgunned beers right in front of Michelle before even walking in.
Oh jeez. The boys are unhinged.
Oh, I love Stampede.
Okay, was that so Raffle, did you take your last one or did Josh
take
his last
one? That was Nevada.
Oh, you went Nevada. Yeah. Okay. Okay, I had you took my backup as well, so I'm going off the board once again. I'm going the state of New York. Now, I ain't doing it because of New York City. Fuck a New York City. I don't need no Madison Square Garden. I just need the good old people of Buffalo. Give me those people day in and day out. I'll be a happy camper. Throw me through a fucking table, dude. That's on my bucket list.
That's not
I
a
might
bad
need
line.
To keep the 265 on to do that, though, because I don't want to be one of those bitches that doesn't break the table, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, you'll go through like two tables at this point.
Yeah, fuck.
You're right. Okay, I'm going to go with Buffalo's biggest rival for my state, and that is massive two shits. home of the Red Sox, home of the Pats. I love Boston. Home to Harvard, home to MIT.
Are you sure it's Harvard?
Fenway Park.
Fenway Pack. and yeah, JFK was born there as well. I'm pretty sure. So, pretty sure.
Let's look it up. Let's look it up.
That's such a cool fact.
He's Harvard alumni. That I know.
Okay.
No, Josh, you should stuck with it. He was born in Brookline, Massachusetts.
Brookline.
Brookline, not Brooklyn. Okay.
Brooklyn. I'm from overseas. Let it go.
I know. Sorry. But I love that state. I love it so much. Salem is there too, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Really?
Anyway.
Wow.
Votes? Or what was your honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions quickly. So, because
you just took them all.
My honorable mentions were Nevada, Tennessee, and then this was an interesting one, dude. Hawaii.
No one forgot about Hawaii.
Fuck.
Hawaii was a good one.
California was up there as one of my honorable mentions. No one said California. And then the other one was Utah.
Mm.
Also for snowboarding.
Nice. There you go.
Give an honorable mention for votes. That would have been good.
Yeah. That's close.
Okay. Raph started off.
Votes. My first vote, only because of everything that's gone on there in the last like 3 weeks, Texas. Tough look for Texas. Fucking snowstorms, power outages, basically off the grid. And then what is it? Today, their mayor opens up Texas 100% of the way.
Dude, their senator. Their senator.
Yeah. I'm like, the fuck? Why, dude? Global pandemic. Open it up, baby.
Yeah.
herd immunity.
Honestly, Elijah's
like, I'm moving to Texas.
Yeah. also, old, or what's it called? Not old. El Paso. I don't like how close it is to Mexico.
It's El Paso.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, it's got its fucking left foot in there, dude.
Yeah, like that's insane. Like that's like I might. This is just alarming. I find, but that's
El Paso
just me.
Is actually a very crime-ridden city. Like so much drugs and all that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it goes.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Anyway.
All right, my first pick for votes. I was gonna say about Texas first. They kind of seem like, this might be a mean comment to make, but they kind of seem like little, like the center is just being a crybaby. He's like, fuck, we had a bad week. I'm going to just open this shit up. Like, it seems like a little reactionary there, you think?
Yeah.
Could be.
Well, pick me up. Okay, my first vote, I'm going Massachusetts. Fuck them. Fuck Boston. Fuck you, Boston. I actually wrote it down that the fucking Boston accent is actually like so dope, but like, I'll never be able to love anything Boston ever again. It's not possible for me.
Okay.
Fair.
Dude, my first vote is fucking California, dude. California really? Sucks. Specifically, actually, I don't know. It's geared more towards Los Angeles. I actually hate LA.
Okay.
It's full of pretentious plastic Botox pussies. That's all it is. And, you know, if you like it there and you're like, oh, my God, I love Los Angeles. Bitch, go to Miami or go to Arizona. Go to Phoenix. It's so much nicer. I don't know. To me, when I look at people like, yeah, I'm from Los Angeles or like I'm moving to L.A. I'm like, dude, you are mixing like Vancouverites and people from fucking Tirana. And you're throwing them on the West Coast with just like this giant ego of just like just bullshit. So, however, I love San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I love me some Palm Springs.
Yeah.
And like all like the cool like head offices, like
San Diego,
Apple, Google, Facebook, they all like all their offices are in Palo Alto, which is kind of cool.
Very true.
That's the struggle I had too. I had Cali down there as well, but there was like good reasons and many bad reasons.
So, like, California is a very like middle one in my opinion.
But the biggest one for me, and this is why I hate it the most, and again, more so an LA comment, is the fucking traffic, boys. Okay, so I'm going to tell a quick story and we'll move on. I think I was staying in Huntington Beach or Venice Beach. Anyway, I was there. My dad and I got some last minute tickets to the Dodgers game. And we were, I don't know, probably like 18, 20 kilometers from the stadium, like given LA traffic. Bro, 20 kilometers, we sat in traffic for 2.5 fucking hours. It was fucking banana lands. Like, you're just not moving. Like, you just
are there accidents or like what?
No, it is just fucking traffic.
How long do you think it takes to walk that far?
That's just LA. Oh. It's got to be around the same, dude. Maybe 8 hours.
It stressed me out.
Oh my God. Holy. Thank you.
Bless you. Thank you.
Bless you. moderate walk, it'll be, 3.5 hours at a moderate pace.
At least you know you're getting into at that point.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
My second vote, the literal middle of buttfuck nowhere, Wyoming.
Fuck.
The least populated state in all of the United States. And it's just smack dab in the middle. Nothing goes on there.
Have you ever actually been to Wyoming, Raph?
No.
Okay. I have.
Okay. And?
The only thing that's there is Old Faithful, the geyser that like
that's it. Hey, I remember that geyser. Yeah.
So it's in Yellowstone National Park, and boys, I'm not even joking. We had to drive through. Okay, so my dad and my sister, we drove through Idaho, which is awful. Then we drove through Montana, which is awful once you get past the Rockies. Awful. And when you go into Wyoming, guys, I'm not even fucking joking. A hill would not go amiss. It is flat. It's flat.
It is brutal. Saskatchewan.
Like, it is absolutely awful. The only cool thing I will say about Yellowstone is it's actually a giant fucking volcano. You're surrounded by a mountain range. And have you guys ever seen the movie 2012?
No.
No. The apocalypse movie, no.
Fuck, it sucks that we're not being spoiled. It just came on.
Too scared, dude.
Anyway, yeah, so they go to Yellowstone. It's actually, like, I Googled it after. It's actually a super volcano. Like, it's, like, the world's only super volcano. And that's where all the guys and shit come from.
That's pretty cool. And I guess they're just, like, releasing pressure consistently, right?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Anyways, Wyoming sucks.
Yeah. Moving on.
Dude, one of the points about Wyoming, like, even checking all of its bordering states, like, you're bordering with the Dakotas, Montana, Idaho, Utah, and Nebraska. And Colorado's the one cool one.
You're not bordering Idaho. No chance.
Yeah, you are.
No, you're not.
You are. I'm looking right at it.
You're not, dude.
Fuck off, dude. I'm literally looking right at it.
Are you?
I'm looking at Google Maps, man. Go fuck yourself.
Are you?
Josh, we can screen share and we can embarrass you on the video if you want.
Idaho kind of has like a BC opposite BC shape to it. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I always thought it went
just,
like Montana.
Just keep trying to tell me that fucking Yale's in Pennsylvania or whatever, dude, okay?
Anyway, fuck you. Okay. What's your number two?
Okay, my next one, Alabama. I got you down there as one of the votes.
Wait, you don't want to go to the side?
You know, I was going to say I hate the football team, and that seems like all you guys got going on anyway, so kind of a big reason to hate you. The one thing I will say is it's fun to say Alabama. It's fun to say it with a little Alabama accent. I guess Birmingham's a city. I don't really know what Birmingham is about. But although I didn't know you guys had Talladega. Do they have the Talladega racetrack down there? I might have fucked up. That might be my worst pick of all of this whole entire segment so far.
You can't take it back, yeah.
That's all right. Fuck you, Alabama.
All right. So my next one, again, was supposed to be Wyoming, but thank God I have some honorable mentions. Dude, fucking Delaware, man. Like, what the fuck is that? What is in Delaware? Give me one fucking thing.
That's like way on the East Coast, isn't it?
I don't know. It's somewhere up there. It's,
I think,
like,
it's on the East Coast.
Like, it's within like Maine and Rhode Island and kind of in like the northeast part of the
smorgasbord of all the small states.
Yeah. Like, I just like, No fucking idea what's there. No fucking clue. Someone gave me their capital. I have no idea what it is.
Elijah, look it up.
Delaware?
Yeah,
capital of Delaware. Oh, there it is.
What are you? I'm trying like not to Google. I'm just like zooming in on this shit.
I'll look it up.
I'm going to say Dover. Is it Dover? Tell me it's Dover. Is it Dover?
I can tell you what the state animal is.
What is it?
The gray fox.
Oh my God. That's so
The capital is Dover.
Hell yeah, dude. Hey, do you think the guy who founded it was Ben?
Okay, moving on.
Yes, okay.
Gosh, Ben Dover.
last vote, Florida.
Florida.
Yes.
Yeah.
I one time heard a saying where somebody, or I don't remember if it was a saying, if it was like a meme or something like that. But somebody's asking like another person, being like, "Oh, like how'd you end up in Florida?" And like I was like, "Well, I threw a dart at a map." And he's like, "And then it landed in the trash can." So I came to Florida. It's like literally, like all the crazy fucking people end up in Florida, dude.
Yeah, Florida's fucked.
Yeah.
There's a Florida's reason just... we send all the old that way, man.
Just let them live life on the edge for the last 10 years of their life.
Like I feel like you have like cool cities in like Tampa Bay or Orlando,
Miami. Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe what is it, Fort Lauderdale? But dude, like you get out into like the Everglades in the middle of nowhere in Florida, dude. Like that's pretty fucked.
Yeah, like, it's weird. That's
like where it gets a little sketchy.
I also feel like Florida was a lot cooler like 30, 40 years ago. You know what I mean?
I think early 2000s, late 90s, spring break.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you would have like Carmen Electra down to like Fort Lauderdale for like spring break. That's when it was cool.
Or even like 1970s Miami, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when the whole like it's fucking crazy to say, but like all the cocaine. Trade. Yeah, the drug trade was huge there. Fort Lauderdale, isn't Fort Lauderdale just like a dump right now?
It's in the Keys. It's in like the Florida Keys.
What was the fuck?
Is that the place that's got a little case of the Epstein or no? Is that a different place?
Might be. I'm not really sure, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I think I forgot. All right. My last pick for Wotes, boys. Fucking Idaho. Fuck your potatoes, Idaho. Pretty sure they have like, a potato.
You don't What's like Spokane?
Dude. Spokane Chiefs. I remember. I went to a Giants game back when they were playing at the Pacific Coliseum and they were playing the Spokane Chiefs.
Yeah.
And this was when I think the Spokane Chiefs goalie was Dustin Tokarski, who used to play for the Habs at one point.
Yeah.
And this was a playoff game. And we were sitting right around a bunch of drunk guys that were like building like the beer cup pyramid and everything too. But they were giving it to Tokarski, man. Like they would not let this guy rest. Like they let it go on Tokarski. It was like straight out of Letterkenny, dude.
Holy.
I do want to look this up. I want to say that Idaho's license plate just has a fucking potato on it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's home of the potato.
Why is it the home of the potato? Yeah,
it says scenic Idaho, famous potatoes. Like fuck your carbs, dude. That's a really outdated thing to say. You guys need to come up with something better.
All right, boys. My last one is North Dakota.
Yeah, like, what made you choose North and not South?
I don't know. I just like, I feel like they're both kind of bad. Like apparently they're just not like they're like, there is like nothing there. The only thing that I know of that is in North Dakota is Mount Rushmore. That's it. That's the only thing that's there. Yeah.
Where the fuck is it?
I don't fucking know, dude. It's somewhere there. Couldn't tell you where.
It looks like they have a city. It looks like they have Fargo. I can't tell what side of the state line it's on, but they got Fargo over there.
Do you imagine? I'm like, hey, E, I'm going to pay you $1 million with no Wi-Fi. You can't listen to music, but you have to live in Fargo for a year. Would you do it?
$1 million?
$1 million. You have to live there for a fucking year. Someone Google what Fargo looks like in North Dakota and tell me what it looks like.
Dude, just Google Fargo and show me the first picture that comes up. Of course, it's a fucking movie.
Yeah, this is a movie.
Or a TV show, I mean.
Do you guys want me to pull it up for you real quick?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it. It's not very promising. It looks like there's a giant train going through the middle of it. Which is pretty much what my life would be. I think I'd pass, Josh. I think I would pass.
That's Fargo, if you guys can see that.
What a piece of shit. Yeah.
That is Fargo. They have a train going here.
Dude, all I know is that their tallest building is like probably like 10 stories. And that's it.
Yeah, that one right there, right?
Yeah, the one on the top.
Anyways, that's Fargo.
All right. Love that. Any honorable mentions?
Cali, that was all I had, but
New Jersey. Fuck New Jersey. Jersey Shore, fuck you.
Dude, my ones have already been said. Florida was one of them, and Michigan was the other. Those were the only ones.
Michigan, don't hate on Michigan. I gave you like 10 points to like Michigan.
Yeah, and they were all about Eminem, which is dude,
come on. Lose yourself in the moment.
Yeah, if I ever have to move to Michigan, I'm going to revisit Mom's Spaghetti. So,
bro, have you seen 8 Mile before? You've seen it, right?
Yeah, it's awful.
Come on, dude. That movie would not be half as good if it was shot at like L.A. or something like that. It's because he's in the trailer park.
What if it was shot in El Paso?
Shit kicked out of him. That'd be kind of cool. That's like a little Breaking Bad, isn't it? Where was Breaking Bad set in?
El Paso, isn't it?
I think so.
You know what? Or no, it was in El Paso. It might have been in
Albuquerque.
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Albuquerque, New Mexico. Yeah. I was going to put New Mexico on there, but like I couldn't really think of a way to make fun of it other than being like kind of like not racist, but like just kind of anti-Mexico.
No, dude. The cool thing about New Mexico is High School Musical was filmed there, so fuck you.
Oh, was it?
Oh, boy.
No, it takes place in Albuquerque. Which is
really High School Musical 1 or 2?
Both.
Oh.
Trick question. Albuquerque is second place. Like, are we going to Albuquerque instead of Reno?
No.
We're doing a road trip through all the shitty places and all the shitty states.
Roadie!
We've got Reno, we've got Yellowstone, we have Fargo.
All together, this road trip.
And then we end up in the boonies in Florida.
Yeah. And then we round off in the fucking... what is it?
Delaware, in Dover.
No, what is it? Where is it? What's that one? What's the crime TV show with Jason Bateman on Netflix? What's it called?
Oh, I know you're talking about.
Ozark. Come on. Ozark. In the Ozarks.
Ozark. Yeah, we end in the Ozarks.
We're not too sure how we got here, but we got here. Have a good night.
And then we round off with a rowdy night in Vegas and then fly home.
And then we do the whole Top Gear thing and we drive through Alabama with really, 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 really inappropriate signs on the sides of our cars and see who gets pulled over first. democratic signs.
Oh, God.
All right, boys. That was episode 25 for our listeners. Once again, please support us. Please help us. Elevate us. Tell all your American friends about this episode, actually. If you have any American family, tell them to listen to this episode. If they like pee in states, we got you guys covered on that one. Yeah. Hold me up. Hold me up, bro. Hold me up, Josh.
Wait, Josh. Oh, Josh.
Boys, Josh. Give me five. Josh,
touch my finger.
Okay. E.T. phone home.
All right, see you guys. All right,
adios. Oh, harder, baby.